Welcome to Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs program. I'm Jody Peterson. In this edition, we'll be talking about mental health. This is an encore presentation of a program that was originally aired on September 24th, 2019, and was updated in July 2020. Many Western Slope residents sometimes struggle with depression, anxiety, substance abuse, and sometimes even thoughts of suicide. The Surgeon General of the U.S. has said that 1 in 4 people experiences some form of mental illness, and the rates of those illnesses are highest in the American West, for many reasons. Fortunately, resources ranging from therapists to treatment centers are available in many communities. We'll hear from various mental health experts about what assistance is out there. The COVID-19 pandemic has also affected people's mental health, with increased anxiety and stress. Sharon Raggio, CEO of MindSprings Health in Grand Junction, talked with KVNF about what mental health issues people are experiencing during the COVID-19 pandemic.
I think that there's been a lot of publicity about mental health being the next tsunami of issues following COVID. We know that people are self-reporting that their anxiety is up, their depression is up, and their drinking and marijuana use are up. And initially, as COVID hit, people were not coming in or using telehealth to access care. However, there was an increase of calls to the crisis line that the state runs. I will also say that initially, suicides were down. However, unfortunately, that has changed. We are now seeing an increase in suicides on the Western Slope, and the belief is that it is related to just the ongoing stress that is a result of this virus. Certainly that applies to social isolation, just the anxiety one might carry, wondering if I'm going to catch it or not. And it's a lot of stress to add to just the normal day-to-day stress that we have. Not to mention the economic impact with people losing their jobs, parents having to both work from home and have their children at home and try to teach them. I think that imposed a whole additional level of stress. So I think now that we're several months into this, we are seeing an increase in the mental health demands as a result of COVID.
So what resources are available to help people cope with all the various strains of this pandemic?
One is, of course, telehealth. And telehealth, many behavioral health providers have pivoted very quickly to telehealth. And what is awesome about telehealth is that you, who are seeking services, can be home, or you can be in your car, or you can be anywhere that's you have a quiet, private place to talk. You can be on your phone, you can be on your iPad, or even on your PC. So people are really, really embracing telehealth in a very, very big way, and it's just awesome. I think many more people are getting care through telehealth. I think there's a whole host of additional resources. So on MindSprings website, as an example, we have tips for handling depression, how to talk to your child about COVID. There's even one on how do you wear a mask and tips for people who are having difficulty breathing when they're wearing a mask, particularly people who might have asthma or other health conditions. How do you wear a mask, especially in this heat, and breathe? But yet we have a statewide order. So there's tips to manage your anxiety while wearing a mask, tips to help you breathe easier. So there's a whole host of information on our website, MindSprings Health.
There are some other resources available too, like at the state level?
So the State Office of Behavioral Health, as well as the Department of Public Health and Education, both list resources on their website. There additionally are resources on SAMHSA, that stands for Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, at the federal level. So they also publish a whole host of resources. Our neighbor mental health center that is also in your service area, the Center for Mental Health, they also have a host of resources posted on their website. So there's just an abundance of information out there with a simple internet search, you can find a whole host of really solid, good information of how to cope, how to deal with this pandemic.
What else would you like to tell people who might be experiencing some difficulties during this trying time?
I think the Another thing I would say is just, you know, if you have concerns, if you're struggling, you're not alone. And seek help. Call somebody. You know, call a therapist. MindSprings is accepting new people, as is the Center for Mental Health, also in your listening area. And there are private providers as well who I know are accepting new people. Talk to somebody. You don't have to do this alone. And we all have to find a way through this interesting time that we've never experienced before. So let's do it together and reach out. Ask for help. Treatment works.
Sharon Raggio of MindSprings Health had more to say about mental health resources in our region. This portion of the interview was originally aired in September 2019.
Yeah, I think today, across the country, but certainly on the Western Slope, there is more and more awareness and more people are seeking help, which on one hand is absolutely awesome. I think the challenge that we have on the Western Slope is having enough providers to be able to provide the care. On one hand, we know that treatment works, and that mental illness is much like any other disease. With the right interventions, people absolutely can and do move into recovery, but you also have to have enough treatment providers. And we have a significant workforce shortage in this country of therapists, much less psychiatrists, and Colorado is certainly feeling the impacts of that. So I think it's some good news, bad news. One of the biggest things that I think is happening in the Western Slope is the increase of mental health needs and the increased rate of suicides, particularly in our adolescent population. Across the country, adolescent suicide completion is the fastest growing demographic, and certainly we see that here on our Western Slope. And frankly, that's frightening. It's still true and has been true for many, many years that it is the middle-aged men that are the largest demographic for suicide completion. But to see our adolescents, and it's males and females, to see them be the fastest-growing demographic, that's really frightening.
What do you think is contributing to that?
Well, I think our kids these days are experiencing more and more, certainly anxiety and depression is what the research states are the two prominent reasons why adolescents are seeking care, seeking mental health care. And I also think that amongst the younger generation, there's less stigma about seeking care, which is good.
And what's the situation with adults?
There are more and more adults seeking care. Let's start with our older adults. We know that people are living longer, and certainly out here on the Western Slope, people retire here and they stay here. And as we live longer, we also have other just physical health care things that come into play.
I understand the suicide rate in Western Colorado is one of the highest in the nation.
We do have a higher suicide rate out here on the Western Slope than happens nationally. And interestingly enough, that is also true in most Western states where you have mountains and you have higher altitude. University of Utah has recently done some research and published some papers. They think they're onto something, and they're really looking at, does altitude play a role in suicide, in the higher rates of suicide in mountain states? Because that seems to be true no matter where the mountains are, if they're on the Western Slope or if it's the Appalachians or, you know, if it's the Alps.
So what about the cultural component of that? I mean, if you live in a mountainous area, you may be more likely to be in an area that is, you know, more isolated with fewer people and fewer resources available. Is that considered to be a component too?
Yes, I think that hypothetically that is also a component. People often move to beautiful mountain places just to kind of be away from the rat race, and they crave the isolation. And good, bad, right, or wrong, we humans are social animals, and we do need other people to stay emotionally well. So I think absolutely your comments play into this. Another factor I think that contributes is economic. We also know that many of our smaller communities have gone through years of economic boom and bust cycles. And just as a large mental health provider on the Western Slope, we certainly have seen our numbers of people thinking about suicide increase during some of those economic bust cycles. Because when those economic bust cycles happen, people lose their farms, they lose their jobs, they lose their families, their divorces happen, they file bankruptcy, lots of things that add just a lot more stress to people.
Let's talk a little bit about resources that are available for mental health care on the Western Slope.
So on the Western Slope, you have three community mental health centers. MindSprings Health is one of them, and I am the CEO of MindSprings Health. We cover the 10 Northwest counties in the Western Slope and have offices, outpatient offices, in each of those communities. Additionally, we have a psychiatric hospital that is the only psychiatric hospital between Salt Lake and Denver, and that really serves the entire Western Slope. And then additionally, we have some substance use disorder residential programs. And then you have Access Health System, which serves five of the counties in the Southwest. Each of those organizations, as well as MindSprings, offer very similar outpatient programs, in that we each would offer children, adolescent, and adult outpatient mental health services. That includes individual, family, and group therapy, as well as psychiatric medication management. One of the things the three mental health centers are all doing is working with the opioid population and offering some medication-assisted treatment. The other thing that's happening in the behavioral health space is that primary care is hiring behavioral health therapists, which is, again, expanding access and is a very good thing. This model is really where you go in to see your doctor and you might get a behavioral health screen. And if there are anything that you'd like to speak with a behavioral health therapist about, they're right there. So you don't even need to make a second appointment or get a referral to another organization or anything like that. It's all integrated.
If you're just tuning in, this is Local Motion on KVNF, and in this edition, we're talking about mental health on the Western Slope. This program was originally aired on September 24th, 2019. I also talked to two staffers at the Center for Mental Health in Montrose, CEO Shelley Spalding and Heather Thompson, Director of Nursing and Emergency Services. Their organization recently opened a new facility, the Crisis Walk-In Center at 300 North Cascade in Montrose. It provides 24/7 services to adults and youth experiencing any kind of mental health or substance abuse crisis. In the following interview, Shelley speaks first, then Heather answers some later questions.
The Center for Mental Health is a community mental health center, and we cover 10,000 square miles, six counties: Gunnison, Hinsdale, San Miguel, Ouray, Montrose, and Delta counties.
How are you funded?
We have a variety of funding mechanisms. We receive funding for individuals that have Medicaid coverage, as well as we take all third-party insurance contracts, and anyone who is self-pay as well.
And I understand you just now opened another facility that's a walk-in crisis center?
Our crisis center contains a crisis walk-in clinic, a withdrawal management unit, and a crisis stabilization unit. And those services will provide, at the walk-in clinic, will be evaluation services, so anyone can walk in who is experiencing an acute crisis for either mental health and or substance abuse issues, and an evaluation will be done, and then an ongoing treatment plan, whether that would be admission to the unit and or if an individual can be discharged back to the community safely, we will do that with an ongoing plan for treatment.
If this facility wasn't here, where would those people go for help?
Historically, folks that lived in our service area either had to travel to Durango or Grand Junction for these services, and often about 50% of the individuals needing these services had to go to the Front Range. It is open to the public. Anyone can walk in. Family members can help anyone get into treatment. Law enforcement will often pick folks up and bring folks in.
Do you also manage people with opioid addiction? And Heather Thompson, as Director of Nursing, can you answer this one?
Yes, meth, heroin, marijuana, even though it's legal, we see usually people who come in on multiple substances.
What's the relationship between substance addiction and mental health?
About 50% of individuals that have mental illness also have a substance use disorder, so tied very closely together.
What are the other kinds of issues that you commonly see for people seeking treatment?
We see loved ones bringing people in, right? They know they need help. They don't know how to get them help, whether it be for substance abuse or they have said they want to hurt themselves or others. So they can, family members could walk someone in and we would assess them, or they could self-admit and walk in and say they need help. From the hospitals, what we're seeing is people who might need some medication management versus, you know, you might get started on something in the ER and discharged, or someone who's actively psychotic or having some hallucinations. So we've seen pretty much that across the board. We've also seen people who are just having some life coping skills that, you know, they just don't know which direction to turn. And they've either started using substances or they're not using substances and are just like trying to figure out, you know, I don't want to hurt myself, but if I can't get this figured out, there could be potential for me to hurt myself. So I think we see it all across the board.
Shelley Spaulding, I'll ask you this. Do you think access to guns plays a part in the high suicide rate out here?
I personally think on the Western Slope, we have a lot of access to guns, and so we see a lot of suicide by firearm. So I think that's one of our issues.
Colorado recently passed a red flag law. Do you feel like that is going to be beneficial in terms of getting firearms out of the hands of people who might be a danger to themselves or others?
Yeah, I think it's probably one more tool. The law enforcement entities that we work with are very good about working with us if someone presents and is either experiencing suicidal or homicidal tendencies. We'll work with either the individual and or their families to help remove firearms if there is a danger. So, yeah, I think it's one more tool.
And what other factors are important in thinking about mental health? And
I think stigma is still a huge issue. I think that we need to really start supporting folks with behavioral health issues as just being one more health issue. We don't think twice about somebody seeking treatment for cancer or diabetes. And while I think it is getting much better around behavioral health, I think we still have a ways to go.
So I think maybe that also is part of just the culture in the West of this rugged independence and, you know, I don't need anybody and I don't need help.
Yeah, absolutely. We tend to have a pick yourself up by your bootstraps and move on kind of mentality on the Western Slope.
But sometimes you need a little help with those bootstraps. But even when someone does decide they need some help, don't they often find that health insurance doesn't cover very much for mental health treatment?
Absolutely. Colorado actually ranks 38th in the nation for funding of behavioral health. And so we're pretty far down there. In terms of insurance companies, we have a parity law where insurance companies are required to offer behavioral health benefits, but often they do not equal the same coverage for physical health. There is lots of legislation at the national level right now. Hopefully we'll get passed so that there is equality of all insurance coverage.
And Heather, from your perspective as a clinician, what do you want people to know about mental health? What do you wish that more people understood?
What I would love is that if you have a loved one or you have someone you know or you yourself has mental health issues or substance abuse issues, you're not alone. There are a lot of people who have issues and there are great places to go and get help. And I think we are one of those places. If you are listening to this program and you know someone or you yourself have those issues, you can walk into our crisis location. You can walk into our outpatient locations and we will figure out where to get you the help that you need.
For people in the community who would like to be able to better help family members or friends who are struggling, are there classes available?
The center, as well as a few other entities in our area, provide what's called mental health first aid. That is a free service that the center would provide. It is much like first aid and CPR. It's an 8-hour course that anyone in the general public can take and just start to learn the basics about mental health and helping someone who might be in crisis. And if anyone wants to call our number at 970-252-3200, we will absolutely help get someone enrolled in a class. Or if you work at a facility or work somewhere and you'd like to have your workplace trained, the center will certainly provide that training free of charge.
And Heather, how long have you been working in mental health and what drew you to this field?
So I've been a nurse for 23 years and done all kinds of nursing, but this is fairly new for me. I've been doing mental health substance abuse for about three and a half years now. So.
And what led you to go into that particular area?
So just the need, right? I've done almost every type of nursing you can think of, and just seeing what's happening across the nation and in the communities that we serve, it just pulled at my heartstrings. And as a nurse, you know, we're caretakers and we want to give back. And I just said, why not? Why not put yourself out there and learn something new?
What has the experience been like for you? I imagine it's really hard sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's been an eye-opener to see how much of a struggle it is for people to get the help that they need, whether it's because there's a stigma attached, whether because it's a financial issue, or there's just not that many places to go to get the services that you need for mental health or substance abuse. And then to just see how many people who want to help those types of individuals, you know, that are having issues. There's so many people who care and are really good at what they do. I wish we could open up a crisis walk-in center, you know, in several more counties so that we weren't so far spread. But maybe we'll get there because we want to help everybody.
Shelley, I'll ask you the same question I asked Heather earlier. How long have you been in mental health and why do you work in this field?
I have been in the mental health field for 30 plus years. And I love the mental health field and helping individuals. I think it's very, very rewarding to help someone and walk beside someone who is struggling and then to see them get the treatment they need and then to just go on and do great things in life.
Are there some particular incidents or stories that you remember that buoy you up?
There are so many. I could go on all day long, but I think especially we've seen lots and lots of progress made with psychiatric medications. Historically, I think back in the day, you think about the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Thorazine, and today's medications are just so much better. They have much fewer side effects, and I think have been able to really help alter that chemistry in the brain and kind of get the neurons firing properly for folks that have some of the more serious mental illnesses. So just lots and lots of progress made.
And that was Shelley Spaulding and Heather Thompson of the Center for Mental Health. Next, I spoke with Kevin Barclay, President and CEO for the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Western Slope. His office is one of 500 affiliates across the country and has been in Grand Junction for 30 years. Kevin shared his take on a simple action he thinks that can make a big difference in how we all feel. He also described what the National Alliance on Mental Illness is and how it operates.
They do three different things that they focus on. The first one is support. Support for people that are going through a mental illness, that have questions about a mental illness, living with a loved one that has a mental illness, or has a friend that has mental illness, and they have questions or they need to get some kind of support and direction. Our main goal there is to support those people and also to have support programs where they can go and speak to others that have the same thing. The second thing we do is we advocate to help people and direct them where they need to go. A lot of times if people have questions when they're going through challenging times, whether it's a legal issue or a financial issue or just a placement issue, either for themselves or for a loved one. And what we want to do is stand in that fray for them and help them navigate through that to find out exactly their best place to go. The last one is to educate. We have programs called Family to Family, Peer to Peer, to help educate people when they're dealing with a problem with either with a loved one or with themselves.
About how many people do you serve each year?
Last year, 2018 total, was a little over 4,000, with 700 adults being trained. This year, we're looking to be a little bit over that, especially with people touched. We've been speaking at the high schools, at service groups, and a lot of other areas we've been called.
What are the major mental health issues that you see? Is there anything about being where we are and kind of a ruralish, you know, Grand Junction's a little more urban, but a lot of the Western Slope is very rural. And, you know, do you feel like that affects mental health in any way?
Let's recognize the fact that we've been dealing with the why do we have such a problem with mental health in the Grand Valley for over 100 years. And we still don't know why. There's been some conjecture, some whatever, all these different ideas, but still, we don't know for sure.
So you're saying that the Grand Valley has higher rates of mental illness than other areas of Colorado?
Well, we're number one in the state in suicide and number one in the state suicide attempts. So one would surmise after that that mental health is one of the bigger issues also. We know that by capacity at Mine Springs, by the walk-ins over at St. Mary's, and we just know that general overall population and phone calls and connections. So what do we do about it really is the question. So we do have a higher rate than that, and we don't know why, but let's talk about what. The biggest thing I think we have to do right now is talk about one issue. It's okay to not be okay. We're promoting that throughout the Mesa County, among other things. And one of the things, the messages we want to put out there, let's say, for instance, you're not okay, and I'm not okay either, and we both know that. That softens our dialogue, allows us to connect on a different level, and then we really get each other. So right away, our connection is much more solid than just a fleeting, how are you doing? I'm fine. If we recognize that it's okay not to be okay, but the hope is the connection piece, then we can encourage the people that might be a little bit healthier to reach out to the other person and actually say hello and really be in earnest to wait for their answer. How are you doing today? I'm fine. How are you? Oh, fine. That's typically the response. But if a person's suffering, if a person feels a little bad, or they're off, or they're not okay, one of the biggest things they want is to be heard. What we want to encourage people to do is listen. Listening is a lost art that some people just don't do that well. We need to be heard when we're not feeling well, when we're not having a good day. We need to be heard, not comforted or directed or given a medication, just heard. We get to that point, I think we're at the beginning of where we need to be.
Yeah, so what you're trying to do is just sort of change the way that people talk to each other and, you know, how the whole community approaches mental illness.
I want to be a realist here. I'm not asking everybody to stand around, light a candle, and sing Kumbaya. What I'm looking for is just true connection. What if we had everybody in Mesa County truly connect with their next-door neighbor, everybody, just one time, one time a day, just say, Ernest, hello, how are you, and wait for the answer. If we did that, we could change the needle in mental health very easily, just by doing that.
So you feel like isolation is a big component in mental illness?
Absolutely, because we become isolated when we have a problem that we don't want to talk about. We isolate ourselves. What we need to do is draw those people out, let them talk. It's simple. I say this over and over again. What if the answer to the problem about our mental health issue here is so easy that it's hard? If you're hurting, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling depressed, reach out to somebody because that's going to help you feel better. And I'm not saying just do that to help you feel better, but to help the other person and truly connect. We have to change our apathetic attitude that we have and change the whatever and it is what it is into I care, I want to hear what you have to say. Stay present with the person in front of you. Hear what they have to say, because I guarantee you this. Somebody's going to say something that's going to change your life or at least add a little bit to it. If you stay connected to somebody and have somebody that you can really talk to and connect with, it changes things. It changes who you are. So I would just say, I would encourage people to just reach out. Just say hello. It's really easy. And if somebody's a little downtrodden, don't feel bad about saying hello. You might see a surprise. They might just blossom right before your eyes because somebody said hello. Agree or disagree with whoever's in power or whatever the case is, the fact of the matter remains we still have to walk around and do our stuff. We still have to drive our car to work and go home and eat a dinner and go to sleep, wake up and do it again. We have to concentrate in our neighborhood. We have to concentrate in our friends and family, and God bless our neighbors. And if we do that, that's what's more important.
And that concludes this edition of Local Motion. This program was originally aired on September 24th, 2019. You can find this program and many others on our website, kvnf.org. Thanks for tuning in.